Our scripture reading this morning is from Colossians chapter 3, verse 18 through chapter 4, verse 1. This is the Lord's word. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Father, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you'll receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. May the Lord bless us in the reading of his word. Good morning, everyone, once again. Please say hello to the people beside you, behind you. Hopefully many of you were able to sleep through the thunderstorm. If not, glad that you are here to worship our Lord this morning. It's always good to know that we come here by God's grace, do we not? It is always good to know that God will minister to us according to his wisdom and not ours. No matter how prepared our hearts may be, God is always prepared to meet you today. And so you only have to do one thing. Just say, Lord, I believe that you will meet me here. I believe that you will speak to me. And the Lord will do his work. God has always been gracious to his people in that way. We are, as the Old Testament may say, a stiff-necked, stubborn people. But God's graciousness, his faithful, steadfast love has never changed. And so as we worship here today, this morning, may the Lord truly speak to your hearts through his Spirit. As we continue our series on Colossians chapter 3, we come to the part of Paul's letter where he addresses the Christian household and how the Christian household should run and how the Christian household should reflect Christ's love and Christ's mercy. Now, when we read these passages out of context, many of us who live in this modern world may cringe at the sound of some of these words. Love, submit, do not be harsh, obey in everything. And as we read these words, we might think these are so absolute without any sort of room to maneuver. How is it that these passages about being a husband and being a wife, how does that apply to our modern world today? In many ways, it applies perfectly today, but also in many ways, it doesn't apply at all. And the reason being is because this passage is still within the context of the Church of God. This passage is still within the context of those who claim Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. This passage is still in the context of those of you who have set your hearts and your minds on things in heaven. You who claim that you will rely upon the power and the love of Christ for all things. You who say that the glory and the name of Jesus is your one desire. This is the context. This is the place where we can understand what the household of God should look like. For those of you who are husbands and those of you who are wives, remember before you go to verse 18 and 19, rest on verses 1 through 17. Put off your old self, anger, malice, grumbling. Put on your new self, forgiveness, loving. Remember, as you are called to love the church in all things, part of that church is your spouse as well. So what it says in verse 17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This verse applies to the church at large. Whatever we say, whatever we do, to maintain the unity and the love in the church, we do it in the name of Jesus. So, thusly, therefore, your marriage is no exception. All that you do to love your wife, to love your husband, you do in the name of Jesus. And this is important for us to really ground ourselves before we head into these next two verses. Remember in the Ten Commandments where it says, you shall not take the Lord's name in vain. Now, many of us growing up, when we hear that, that means not saying, Jesus, and things of that nature, right? But that word, to take the Lord's name in vain, it means to use Jesus' name as something that's empty, that has no value, that has no power. For those of you who still play board games, there's a board game named Monopoly. I think maybe some of you guys know that, right? And, there's that fake currency that's there. And we know that in the game, it's fun to play, but we know that those $500 bills, which don't exist in the real world, they have no value. They're just pieces of paper. We can use them for kindling, and we wouldn't even think twice about it. We would crumple it up and throw it away. We wouldn't even give a second thought about it because there's no value. It's empty. And so here in verse 17, when it says that we should do all things in the name of Jesus, all things by the power of his name, where he is seated at the right hand of God, he is saying to you and to me, don't take Jesus' name in vain. His ability to change you is not a false promise. But when we call upon the name of Christ to love one another and to love our spouses, there is power, there is change. There is Christ in the midst of it. And so this is the foundation that we stand upon when we talk about husbands and wives. This is the power that God has given us when we talk about being married. This is where we have to humble ourselves beneath the grace of God, that these next two verses will start to make sense to us. It will not make sense to this world. But for you who know Jesus, it will make perfect sense. So let's read these next two verses. And let's see what Paul is trying to teach us about the roles of the husband and the wives. Verse 18 and 19, once again. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord's. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Oftentimes we look at verse 18, and when I do weddings and when I do premarital counseling, we sort of look at this word, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. And oftentimes the wives, the women start to bristle. The guys just sort of just peer somewhere else because they don't want to look at their wives when they hear that word. And both of them are sort of looking at each other, trying to figure out, what does this word actually mean? What does it look like in a marriage? And for those of you who are single as well, it's like, as a woman, what do I look for in marriage? As a man, what do I look for in a wife? What do I look for to build together, to glorify our God? And even for you who are parents, how do you train your children? That's a big question. How do I train my daughters? How do I train my sons? For the possibility that the Lord will grant them a spouse. It's an important question for us to hear and to understand. Now, when we see here, when we see here, it says, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. I think we have to understand something about this verse, and something about what Scripture talks about women. One, submission actually means that women are more than capable of doing everything on their own. Submission actually means that the woman herself has the capability to make decisions, has the capability of being wise, has the capability of doing business. We see this in Proverbs. You know, the son is told, listen to the wisdom of your mother, that it may go well with you. Proverbs 31 talks about the woman who's able to do business in the house, to earn extra income, to manage the household as well, and that she is greatly to be praised. Even the men in the square say, hey, you've got a great wife. Submission actually means that the woman is capable to do many things that even men can do. Submission doesn't mean a weak-willed woman. Submission doesn't mean a woman who has no care about anything at all. Submission doesn't mean that the woman just blindly follows his man and just hopes for the best. You here, my sisters, who know the Lord, your duty before God is to grow in your relationship with the Lord. Your duty before God is to know him and have your hearts hidden in God himself. Your duty is to grow in wisdom and in love for the Lord himself. Your duty is to serve God with your wisdom, with your knowledge, and with your love. You see, when God asks us to submit to him as individuals, he knows that we can willfully say no. Sisters, when God asks you to submit, he does so in his economy of husband and wife, not because you are inherently unable to do things on your own, but there's an order and economy between the husband and the wife. But here's something interesting, right? It says, wives, submit to your husbands as is what? Fitting in the Lord. As it's appropriate in God. In other words, sisters, wives who are married, right? Sorry, wives who are married. Wives who are out there, right? As you obey your husbands, as you submit to your husbands, you're not submitting without thinking. You're not submitting without sort of saying, well, I guess I'll just do whatever my husband says. But you yourself have to have a wise knowledge and wisdom about your marriage, your husband, his capabilities, his weaknesses, and to know how and when to obey your husband, to submit to your husband, that encourages him to lead your marriage and to lead your family. You see, as husband and wife, it is not as if the wife does not have any say in the marriage. It is not as if the wife just follows blindly and meekly. But the wife has a role, an important role, to play in the marriage between husband and wife. How do I love my husband so that he may use his gifts, his abilities, his role to not only love me well, but to bring glory to our Savior who we love together? Secondly, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Now we know here in Ephesians chapter 5 are the two passages that Paul talks about husbands and wives and their roles. For the husband, your role is very simple. It's to love your wife, but to love your wife as Christ has loved the church. Ephesians chapter 5, Paul goes on to teach us as husbands what it is to love our wives. What it means is we love our wives with a sacrificial love, with a dying love, with a love where we see what's best in our wives, a love that is patient and merciful, just like Christ is with his church, to hope and to see that our wives may grow in grace and grow in love. It means to protect your wife in all things. It means not making your wife have to make decisions about every little thing when you are just sitting at home playing video games. It means, husbands, make decisions for your spiritual family. Do it with wisdom. Do it with love. Do it in such a way that you sacrifice yourself and your wants and your needs for the sake of your wife, that she may grow in faith as well. You see, when the wife submits to the husband, the temptation for the husband is to lead in such a way that they forget that their wives need to hear their husbands and to see their husband love them. The wives need to see from the husbands that the husbands have nothing but their wives' best interests in mind. And so when it says here, husbands, do not be harsh with your wives, or other translations, do not be embittered with your wife. For us as husbands, the temptation is just, I'm just going to make a decision regardless of how my wife feels. But for us as husbands to know our wives, to love our wives, and not to cause them bitterness. And for us as husbands, not to become bitter as well. You see, both the husband and the wife have their roles to play in their marriage. Husbands, you should be the spiritual leaders of your household. You are the ones to initiate times of prayer. You are the ones who initiate the times of reading scripture. You're the ones who should be waking up the earliest to get your family ready for church. You are the ones who set an example for all your family members of what is important. Think of it this way, there are times where you go on vacation and I know in a lot of families, it's the wife who does all this, but there's quite a few families where the husband loves to plan everything, right? They love to plan everything. They're up early in the morning. They pack the car. They play Jenga with all the luggage and make sure everything's in the car. And the wives wake up and the children wake up and they just put everyone in the car and they say, we're going on this vacation. And a lot of times the wives and the children are just like happy. Dad's planned all of this. Dad has us going from point A to this beautiful vacation that he set up for us. And all we have to do is rest and enjoy knowing that Dad has planned all this for us. In many ways, that picture is the picture of our spiritual lives as well. Dad, you need to be the vanguard up front for your wife in your Christian faith to lead and to lead by God's grace and God's mercy. Now, I remember when I was ministering in New York, there was this lady who just got married to this guy, and she came from a long line of Christian from her family was the believers, her grandparents were believers, her uncles were pastors, and she was a great woman of faith. Her parents simply owned a fish market. She married this Chinese gentleman who had sort of just come to know the Lord. And for some reason, they mashed up and they got married. I think it's because he loved to fish. She was good at scaling fish and preparing fish. But anyways, they would go fishing all the time. So after they got married, I came in on the scene, and I was still single. But for about a year and a half, I had to say to her, you need to help your husband to lead you. And she being a New Yorker is like, no, that's okay. I can do everything. I go, you need to let your husband lead you. Just do small things to let him lead. If you don't, then you will just be his spiritual mom. And that's all your relationship will be. Do you want to be a spiritual mom to your husband? And so we would talk, not on sort of a regular basis, I would talk with them and just say, hey, how are you guys doing? And I would meet up with the guy and goes, what's it like trying to lead your wife, knowing that she knows more about the Bible than you do? And he says, it's hard. But the greatest gift that his wife gave him was just permission to let him lead at his pace. And that man grew up because her patience and his persistence in wanting to lead his wife year after year after year after year, he was able to lead his family well, to lead his wife well. the Lord wants the man, you who are husbands, lead your wives well. Wives, learn how to encourage your husbands well. And as you love one another and help each other, God wants your marriage to reflect his glory. Again, you might think that, wow, this is like this huge part of marriage is just guy leads and the woman submits, and that's sort of like the only thing there is. I again will submit to you here in verse 18. There's only two verses, one verse each. Right? There's only one verse each. I will submit to you verse 1 through 17 is that big foundation that allows you to play the roles that God has for us. Thirdly, let's put children aside for a second, okay? What's the purpose of marriage? Let's say you get married. You are married. Again, put children aside. What's the goal of being married? Is it, well, I have my best friend. Okay. Our goal is to go on vacations. Okay. Go on a lot of vacations. Our goal is to be the best golfer couple in Atlanta, Georgia. Okay. Our goal is to eat at every restaurant that's been opening. Okay. Our goal is just hang out with our friends. Okay. What else? What else do you want to do? Our goal is to help each other succeed professionally. All right. What else do you do? What else can the world say the purpose of marriage? Like all those things, like part of me says, wouldn't we better just go with your guy friends? Guys, go with your guys on the guys trip. Girls, go with your girls on the girls trip. Isn't the institution of marriage that God has given bigger than just simply just trying to have fun in this world? See, the beauty of marriage and the beauty of these roles that you play that God has given you to do is a reflection, is it not, of Jesus' love for his church in Ephesians chapter 5. The way that Jesus unreservedly loves his church. And the way that the church, you, all of you who is his bride, submits to the Lord, knowing that his wisdom is beyond our wisdom. That even though there are times that we're like, okay, I don't want to obey this, but I just need to because I know God is right. And you do. You see, the institution of marriage is bigger than, let me hear this well, it is bigger than you. Let me tell you, the weddings that most of you guys have right now, nowadays, will not compare to the wedding that Jesus is going to have when he comes back. He will have better food than you, better music than you, and he'll have a better crowd than you. But the purpose of your marriage, husband and wife, as you love one another well, as you exude the qualities in Colossians chapter 3, it's so that people can see Jesus in your marriage. That's very, very distinct from the Jesus that they see in friendships, Jesus that they see in the parent-child relationship. It's the Jesus that they see in a husband and a wife loving one another with the gospel of Christ. I don't know if any of you have really experienced this yet. And I would dare say it's one of the reasons we as sort of second-gen people are still struggling with our marriages is because we have forgotten that the purpose of our marriages is to imitate Christ and to let Christ be known. I think one of the greatest things that couples can do is to invite people over to their homes for lunch or dinner. And for people to observe your marriage. And when people observe your marriage, they will start to see that your marriage is different from the marriages that I see from my people who do not know the Lord. There's a real service of the husband to the wife, and a real service from the wife to the husband. That people will ask, how does your marriage work? How is it that you love one another so well? How is it that you get through the hard times? And they know that it is because of Christ and not because of your own power. In my own life, the first marriage I ever saw that I was like, this is a model for me, was when I was in college. And it wasn't an Asian couple. It was a Caucasian couple from North Carolina. And he and his wife would invite me and a couple of college students over to his house all the time. And I know how my parents' marriage works. But I watched their marriage. And I was in absolute awe by the way they communicated, by the way they would pray during meals, the way they did family worship and invited us to worship with them, the way they made first things first. You know, plenty of stories, but I'll just tell a couple real quickly. There was this one time where he was really having his wife was really sick, and he was just really down about it. And I remember I was just a sophomore in college, and he shared it with me and this other student, and we just sat there, we just prayed for him. And I was like, here's someone who is not ashamed of the fact that he's wrestling and wants even my prayers. And that was beautiful to know that they let us in. The second thing that was beautiful for me was the fact that their house was a mess. It was a mess. And when they fed us, the food was like you know, a real small portion. But my friends and I, before we go to his house for a meal, we'd always go somewhere, eat like two or three hot dogs, then go to their house and eat, you know? And their house was always a mess. They had like four kids, and they were homeschooling them, which is crazy enough. And we would go over, and it was chaos. Absolute chaos. But I learned very quickly that the hospitality of that family was not about the food, not about how clean their house was, not about how orderly their family looked, but was simply them inviting us into their family life as it is in reality, and watching them pray for each other and pray for us. You see, husband and wife, you should go to sleep saying to one another, wasn't it wonderful how we were ministered to by that person or that family? Wasn't it amazing how we were able to minister as a couple to those people as well? How is it that God is doing this? This is the vision that God has for your marriage. It's not about your marriage per se. It's about you seeing God work through you as a married couple. Don't worry about vacations. Don't worry about your hobbies. Don't worry about all these things. They're great. They're good things. But don't you want to see God work through your marriage to bring glory unto Him? This is what God desires for you and for me. The household of God. Men, grow close to the Lord. Grow close to the Lord. Learn how to love. Learn how to sacrifice. Sisters, same thing. Learn how to love the Lord. Learn how to give. Learn how to sacrifice. And one day, by God's grace, if the Lord allows you to get married, you can say to one another, it's not about us. It's about God. Praise be to Him who has given you His name, His power, His love to do all such things. Let us pray. Lord, we, as your people, we forget that we are made in your image. We see, Lord, that you are the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we've seen, Lord, how you, as the Son, you actually submitted yourself to the Father. You took on flesh. You became human. You, Father, Lord, you enacted this great rescue mission called salvation. And we thank you that you did so with love and sacrifice. We thank you, Father, as well, that when Jesus succeeded in obeying your commands and in securing salvation for his people, that you lifted up your Son, Jesus, and gave him the name that is now above all names, that every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. That is the picture, Lord, of love, of unity, a sacrifice. Father, you've called us, Lord, as husbands and wives to do likewise. To do it, Lord, with the foundation of the gospel and your love for us. To do it, Lord, with the ethics of and the virtues of loving one another, sacrificing and forgiving each other. You called us to do this, Lord God. So when people see our marriages, they don't simply see two people just slaying the world. Two people who made it in the world. But they see a couple who is wrestling to know you and to make you known. They see it in their love for each other and their shared love for a lost world. So, Lord, we pray that you would bless the marriages here. Help us to continue to move forward, Lord God, to be hospitable people that all may know Christ. We also pray for the single people here. We pray for our children as well. You will call many of them to marriage. We know that, Lord God. Prepare them well, Lord. Help them, Lord, to hide their hearts in you. Help them to find you and to love you. Help us as parents. Help us as older brothers and sisters to equip our children to know you and to love you as well. We thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.